Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate it. And I first want to say that there's been a lot said, both good and bad, obviously, regarding the renewable fuel standard. And the most important information, I think, to remember is that the RFS reduces our dependence on foreign oil and reduces our carbon emissions. And we'll have to see whether or not it'll be a success or a failure. But I think there are things we can do now to help strengthen the RFS, decrease our reliance on foreign oil, and improve our national security. For many years, and I just recently introduced the bill for this Congress, I call it the Open Fuel Standard Act, which I believe is a complement to the RFS. I introduced it in a bipartisan way, as I always have, with Congresswoman Ileana Ross-Leighton as my co-sponsor. And what the legislation essentially does is it requires auto manufacturers to build cars that can run on alternative fuels in addition to gasoline. Mr. Shimkus and I have, in previous Congresses, teamed together to push this. This could include ethanol, methanol, natural gas, electricity, biodiesel, hydrogen, or a new technology. It would empower consumers to make a choice about which fuel is best for them. And I hope that we would take up this legislation. Got the idea for it many years ago when I was chair of the Western Hemisphere Subcommittee on the Foreign Affairs Committee, and drove into a gasoline station in Brazil and saw that there were many blends, many mixes, many choices that consumers had. And since I believe that choice helps keep costs down, it seemed to me that it was foolish for us not to do it in this country. And when I learned more in those years about what it would cost to manufacture flex fuel cars in America, no one told me that it would ever be more than $100 per car to manufacture them. In fact, some people said it was as low as, some experts said it was as low as $35 a car. The most anyone told me was $100. And so for such a little amount of money, it seemed to me almost criminal that we weren't doing it. So let me ask Mr. Grundler, one of the major concerns with the RFS is the so-called blend wall. And can you comment on how adoption of My Open Fuels Act and the adoption of more flex fuel vehicles might affect the blend wall?
That's hard to answer, sir. Currently, as has been stated, I think there's somewhere between 10 and 12 million flex fuel vehicles on the road right now. But it appears, based on the evidence, that consumers are not using them to buy E85. I think roughly 100 million gallons of E85 was sold last year. Perhaps Mr. Siminski's got a better number. And it's likely that's due to a number of factors. And some owners don't know they've got a flex fuel vehicle. Some owners have these flex fuel vehicles, but they may live in Texas, where I learned earlier that there might be one station selling E85, and some are discouraged by the price of E85. So your question, well, if there were more flex fuel vehicles available, would that change this pricing dynamic? And I don't know if it would. Today, I think Ford is roughly making 40% of their vehicles as flex fuel. General Motors is 40, maybe slightly above. Chrysler is making a significant percentage. So they're on track to meet their commitment of 50% of production. And yet the evidence to date shows that consumers have not been choosing to use the higher blend ethanols. Now, that condition may change if the pricing structure for E85 changes, but that remains to be seen.
Yeah, I believe that it would increase consumer demand, but I do agree with your your thinking that a lot of people right now are not aware of it. It's not something that we promote or we push, and if people don't see it's going to bring them any kind of benefit at the pump, everyone likes to think they care about the environment, but they care more about their pockets, I think. I think that's part of it. Let me ask the Administrator Siminski, would you agree? What would be your opinion? Do you think that adoption of the Open Fuel Act would increase consumer demand for ethanol and other alternative fuels?
I have to ask our people to take a look at it. I think the market itself is driving some alternative fuels. I just heard today from Ford that there's a very high demand. They can't even meet the demand for heavy pickup trucks that use compressed natural gas, for example. So I think that there is some consumer demand out there for these fuels. And as Mr. Grundler said, a lot of it has to do with consumer behavior and what the price of the fuels is. If we had either through a regulatory system or through the market itself, lower prices for these advanced fuels, then I think that there would be a lot less consumer resistance.
Well,
gentlemen,
let me say, and see my time is up, but I just want to say I believe with all my heart that if it works in Brazil, it can work here if we wish it to work. Yeah. But I thank you both for your comments. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.